it sounded as though you were really concentrating on bringing out for people what the background was of Pablita Velarde and what her circumstances were.
Yes, I really was. And in the early part of the book, I talk a lot about her growing up at Santa Clara, because she really grew up as a traditional Santa Clara woman. But when she started painting, it was so opposed to everything that, you know, the traditions of Santa Clara Pueblo stood for. Women didn't paint. And so during her life, I mean, she did a lot of things that didn't agree with the tribal council at Santa Clara Pueblo. One of the things she did, of course, was paint. But the other thing, and she graduated. She got an education. The one thing I didn't bring out tonight was she traveled with Ernest Thompson Seton on a lecture tour and went out east. I mean, she was probably the only Pueblo girl who had ever in her life traveled out east at that time. And when she came back, she went to work in Albuquerque, and she met a non-Indian and got married. And that was yet another thing that was not acceptable at the Pueblo.
What do you think made her so ahead of her time?
I think part of it was the fact that I think she not only wanted to be a painter, but she wanted to be a full-time painter. She wanted it as a career, and I think that's what made her really stand apart from so many other artists. And I talked about that with Tonita Peña, because Tonita Peña was one of her mentors. And she met Tonita during the WPA when there were a number of artists doing murals at the Santa Fe Indian School. And Tonita lived in the girls' dorm, and that's how Pablita met her. And she would go down in the evenings and just talk to Tonita.
Oh.
But Tonita didn't, she wasn't a painter full time. It wasn't a career to her. It was just something she enjoyed doing. Whereas for Pablita Velarde, it was a full time career. She wanted to paint all the time. And, you know, when she got married, it was in the 50s. It was kind of like the father's knows best time period. Her husband didn't want her painting. Her children didn't want her painting. But quite frankly, if she hadn't been painting and selling her paintings, there wouldn't have been much support for the kids and the family. I mean, she pretty much brought in the, you know, the bacon, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And after the divorce, it was her painting that helped her survive and to support her kids. And of course, as time went on, she became known for her paintings, and she experimented a lot. One of the things you see with Pablita's early paintings, they're very much like Tonita's paintings. They're paintings of women working. You know, the kinds of things they do, baking bread, grinding corn, all those kinds of things. And as time goes on, you start seeing her using more animals. She starts to get more abstract in some of her paintings. And I think some of that was kind of coming from Helen, too. I think she was learning some ideas from Helen. And even though the two women probably would never say, oh, I got this from my mother, I got this from my daughter, there was a lot of exchange of ideas going on. And you see that reflected in both of their style of painting, which is wonderful.
You said that you felt as though she was standing behind you.
I got started knowing Pablita Velarde back in 2007 when I curated an exhibition at the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture on the paintings that she did at Bandelier. The experience she had at Bandelier National Monument was really what got her started as a full-time painter, because she was hired to go there and paint full-time. And she did a lot of the paintings that are in the museum collection up at Bandelier. And in 2006, I was approached by Bandelier when they were getting ready to close their museum to remodel it. And they asked if the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture might be interested in having an exhibition of her paintings from Bandelier. And I thought, well, this could be a really interesting exhibit, because usually what they do at Bandelier is kind of switch the paintings out, so you never really get to see the full body of her work. So when we did the exhibit at the museum, it showed all of her range of paintings that she did over the years at Bandelier. And that's how I got to know Margaret. And Margaret loaned some of Pablita's memorabilia, paintbrushes and paints and things like that, right down to her cigarettes, her last pack of cigarettes when she passed away. So I got to know Margaret then, and when Margaret came back in 2009, I became interested in what she was doing. And, of course, now we have an exhibition of Margaret's work at the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture now. So as we got to know each other more, we started talking about these books, and I thought, I would love to write write a biography of Poblita. And as I started writing, I felt her presence almost from the absolute beginning. Mm-hmm. And I do feel that she really was guiding my pen as I was writing this book.
Great. You're going on to the Autry now. You're going to be leaving New Mexico. Are you still going to be able to work in some of the things that you've been able to do here?
Oh, absolutely. One of the things I'll be doing at the Autry is I will be vice president of curatorial and exhibitions, and I'm looking forward to a lot of partnerships with the museums here in Santa Fe, in particular in New Mexico. I know they're planning a Route 66 exhibit, and I think it's going to be traveling, and I think they're already planning it to be in Albuquerque at the Albuquerque Museum. So I think there's a lot of partnerships that are going to be happening, and I'll always come back to New Mexico. My heart is here, and this was just an opportunity I couldn't say no to. Yeah. And I do really think a lot of the Southwest Museum collections, which are merged with the Autry, are very reflective of New Mexico, a lot of Southwest material in that collection. And so I think I'll be coming back to do some research and certainly coming back to see friends and always coming back for Indian markets. So.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Susan.
Painting was not something women did in the Pueblos. And so I'm going to start with a little section called On Becoming an Artist. Even though Poblita continued to pursue her desire to paint, as a female Indian student, she was at odds with the educational mission established by the Miriam Report for Indian girls. It had recommended that crafts be taught to Indian girls as a means of preserving culture and providing women with a supplement to their household income while they kept up with their other duties as housewives and mothers. So primarily they were focusing on, you know, the ceramic arts and weaving, baskets as well as textiles. Painting was not part of the tradition of young females. In the Southwest, Indian service teachers and administrators were thinking of pottery and beadwork as a craft that would provide some income for Indian women, not painting. Poblita's experience proved otherwise. As she contemplated a career in painting, she did not plan to do so as Tonita Pena had done. Tonita Pena was one of the first female painters to be recognized as a painter. But what Tonita did was she combined a professional career with traditional tasks as a wife and mother. Poblita wanted something quite different. She wanted to make a living as a full-time painter. Dorothy Dunn's approach that Indian painting should be flat and not have any background was highly criticized. Poblita defended Dunn, and this was later on in the 60s. Poblita defended Dunn and her teaching methods. And she said, that's because the early artists, like the San Ildefonso artists, did not include backgrounds. I think Fred Cabote was the only one that put buildings in his paintings. And Valino Shihe Herrera used a few little symbols, cloud symbols, in his paintings. I think that's where the idea of no background was connected to Indian art. And I grew up more or less at this stage. I was still under the influence that this was supposed to be the way you painted. So I didn't put much background in my paintings. Poblita recalled the early influence that Dunn had on her paintings and how she came up with some of her subject matter. Poblita said, Miss Dunn was always wonderful to me. She quickly recognized my special talent for art. She encouraged me to make pictures of my life at home that told about the Pueblo and the traditional Indian ceremonies, and I bet you saw that, didn't you, Kay, at the house. Art became my favorite subject. There is no doubt that Dorothy Dunn had a tremendous influence on Poblita's style of painting and her subject matter. As a painter, Poblita negotiated between modernism and traditionalism throughout her life, beginning with the negative attitudes of men toward a Pueblo woman who wanted to paint, and then her struggle to live in both the Euro-American and Pueblo worlds. As an early feminist, by the very act of painting, Poblita enabled herself to break free from women's work, even though the subjects of her paintings often revolved around ideas of traditional women's roles at the Pueblo. While Pueblo women traditionally took charge of the production and decoration of pottery, Pueblo men were responsible for sacred paintings in the kiva. Poblita's own aunts were potters. Nearly all of her early paintings feature some aspect of traditional activities at the Pueblo, whether everyday events or ceremonials. Fueled by Dunn's encouragement and Pena's example, but most of all, her own desire, Pablita pursuing her painting. Pablita always had the greatest admiration for Dorothy Dunn and Tonita Pena, the two women who had more of an influence on her life than anyone else. Both were teachers and mentors, as well as lifelong friends. And this is Pablita's quote. Dunn was very fair in a lot of ways, although basically she was still a teacher to me, and I always respected her as a teacher. Then the next is I respected her as my friend. And then basically I myself just adopted her as either my image of a big sister or mother. The same way I felt about Tonita Pena. I more or less accepted her as my own mother also, because she always gave me good advice. She told me how to be a good woman and to stick to my guns where painting was concerned. Let no man put me down, this kind of thing. If I get criticized, to just either ignore it or accept it is a good thing. And then she'd laugh and she'd say, just be a nice lady. She always teased at the same time when she was very serious. When speaking of the people who had been the closest to her and had an influence on her life, Pablita referred to her deep spiritual connection with Dunn and Pena throughout her life. Pablita said, I always think that way, you know. Maybe it's from what my dad used to say. When we leave the earth, we're still here. They're still with us. Maybe just in memory, but this is the way I think. When I have a problem, I think about Dorothy. What would she say to me if she were here? What would Tonita say to me? I always have the feeling that maybe if they're here, they could tell me. So somehow the thoughts are answered. I always feel that like those two women are still watching me from wherever they are. And I think they're still watching. They're right here. And Pablita, Helen are both here tonight. When I was writing this book, I literally felt Pablita's presence the whole time. I don't think I was writing this book. I think she was guiding my pen. I seriously do. And she was with me the whole time. And there were difficult parts of her life that were very difficult to write about. And at one point when I was getting a massage, I was very tense and my masseuse said, whoa, what's going on? And I said, I just wrote just a really difficult part about Pablita's life. And I said, and I felt she was with me when I was writing this. And she said, and I had just finished the book. And she said, you both need to just breathe. So I took a deep breath with Pablita very much. And I think through this book, and I'll do another reading about a time when she was with her father, I think it was cathartic for her. I think she was finally able to tell her story in her own words, and it made a huge difference. So I hope you enjoy reading it. One of the things that Pablita always felt that her paintings were a record of what was passing in the pueblos, that time was passing, the young people coming, growing up, didn't really know a lot about what Pueblo life was like, especially when she was growing up in the pueblo. And one of the things she did was she started remembering a lot of the stories she was told as a child. And she decided to record those stories. And a result of some of those stories was Old Father the Storyteller. And I'm sure some of you have seen that book. And they're wonderful stories that when she would visit her father in the 60s and he would tell her more of the stories and she'd remember them a little bit better and write them down. And she illustrated this beautiful children's book. Well, one of the things she also wanted to do was essentially be an ethnographer. She went back to the pueblo with the plan to interview a lot of the elders and to record, you know, their stories of living in the pueblos and so on. She ran into a lot of roadblocks in doing that and a lot of objections, especially from the all-male tribal council at the pueblo. But she still spent a lot of time with her father. She would drive up from Albuquerque to Santa Clara to spend time with her father. And she and her father, over the years of her working with him, with telling the stories, they got very, very close.